The issue of post-harvest losses is a critical issue around the world. We spend a lot of time working on crop efficiency and on production, on better agricultural techniques, better seeds, but we often forget that a major component of the food issues around the world have to do with post-harvest losses. There have been estimates around the world that roughly one-third of the food in the world, one-third, is lost or is wasted. And that number could actually be higher. I have been in countries where the post-harvest loss numbers are more like 50%. That's equal to about 1.3 billion tons a year. And just to put that into perspective, 1.3 billion tons will feed about 48 million people. That's a huge, huge problem. Just imagine what we could do if we were just able to cut that one-third or higher loss to much more manageable levels. In a world where we have too many people going hungry, hundreds of millions of people going hungry, that's a luxury that we cannot afford.
When you look at developing countries like in Africa, for instance, what can you do as the U.S. to help, you know, give them those technologies that are so badly needed to help improve those post-harvest losses?
One of the things that we can do is exactly what we're trying to do with this conference today, which is to talk about the problem and to bring some solutions to the problem. This is a problem that can be solved. This is not something that has no solution. You have companies around the world with storage, can help with storage, can help with cold storage, can help with bags, can help with transportation issues. All of these are solutions that have been found elsewhere. So what we're trying to do is to bring some of these technologies to the attention of governments around the world, bring some of these companies to the attention of companies around the world, and in some cases, through our Feed the Future program, which is President Obama's poverty and hunger initiative in many countries of the world, is to fund the beginning stages of this kind of post-harvest loss technology. But ultimately, this is something that will pay for itself, which is the beauty of it. If you're a farmer and you're able to sell more crops because you have lost less crops, you will have more money to be able to invest in these kinds of technologies. So it's a virtuous cycle as opposed to a vicious cycle.
And has the private sector been buying into this program?
Very much. They see the opportunity. The big challenge that we have, I think all of us, both in the private and in the public sector, is how do we take solutions that exist today in small scale, and how do we help those solutions to be scaled up? We've had in this conference companies and some nonprofit organizations that work on bagging crops so that insects and rodents don't come in, or others that work on solar-powered cold storage solutions that require little energy. All of these are small solutions right now, but it's our hope that by exposing them, by giving them the opportunity to explain what they do, that these will become larger solutions.
And in Africa, for example, we've got areas like Mali, we've got areas like Zimbabwe, the DRC, areas that have got conflicts. How do you get to work into those communities where food security is generally a problem already before we even look at post-harvest scenarios? What can be done in those countries?
Well, post-harvest losses occur for many reasons. They occur at the time of harvest and handling, at the time of storage and processing, at the time of packing and transportation. All of these are reasons for the losses. All of these obviously become more challenging in places where conflict is taking place. But ultimately, you know, farmers want these technologies. Farmers, if we can get them to know about these technologies, some of them are very low cost. And therefore, farmers will be able, in some cases, to take advantage of them, even in conflict areas. Again, for these solutions to work, they have to be self-sustaining. They have to benefit farmers so the farmers will want them. And we believe that they will want them, whether they be in conflict situations or in non-conflict situations.
I was looking at the list of embassies that were invited, and I saw some of them, like including Zimbabwe, where the U.S. ambassador has had difficulties in trying to access communities where they are working with people on the ground. How easy has it been, or how difficult has it been to try and work with countries that, you know, you are trying to help people on the ground and the government is resisting? How do you go about it?
At the end of the day, this is not a government, U.S. government solution. This is something that the local farmers will want. Farmers are the same everywhere. If you can help a farmer to grow more food, more crops, and if you can help that farmer to keep those crops, and if you can help that farmer to sell those crops at a higher price, no matter what your politics, the farmer will want to work with you. And that's all we're talking about. These are private sector-led with companies in order for it to be sustainable that will provide a product that is not political. It's producing food is not a political issue. It's something that everybody wants no matter what their politics. And so we have found that as long as we can reach the farmers, we'll be fine. The farmers will make their own decision.
How much money are we looking at in terms of, you know, this whole project in itself?
Well, through our work on Feed the Future mm-hmm. and the G8, New Alliance for Food Security, there has been a commitment by developed nations and African countries and private sector partners to work on helping. So that's 50 million people out of poverty in Africa over the next 10 years. We have more than 45 local and international private sector companies that have originally pledged to invest as much as $3 billion towards food security goals. We also have 21 additional companies, most of them African, in fact, that have signed letters of intent to invest an additional $500 million in African agriculture. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. We need more, which is why we're having conferences like this, to both to tell governments, not just African government, but governments everywhere, about the opportunities, but at the same time to get companies to understand that there's a market out there for their products, U.S. companies and others, in post-harvest technologies. And so we believe that by putting countries and companies together, we will arrive at solutions that, again, cut down on something we cannot afford to continue doing, and that's wasting food.
And going back probably to that issue of, you know, farmers living in conflict areas, they are listening to the program on VOA and they can hear this is something that is very interesting to them. They will be asking, how do I get to these people for it to work for me?
They will be able to, if they have access to the internet, they will see that the State Department will have this program online. They can watch it. But they can also look at at the State Department's and in my bureau, the Economic and Business Bureau, at our agriculture section of our bureau. And there they will have information on a number of initiatives that we are pursuing in Africa with the private sector, be it involving seeds, involving technology, and other areas that have to do with our Feed the Future initiative, which again is President Obama's program to work and reduce poverty and hunger in Africa.